So I'm just here in, I think I'm in First Street and Flower Street, I think it is.
Yes.
And
Hope,
yeah. And just in downtown Los Angeles, I was just walking to Union Station and I ran into a really interesting guy who was telling me his story about crack cocaine. And I think yeah, it's a really interesting story. So I'd love to, you know, hear more of your story and everything as well, and what you were just saying before. So yeah, tell me your name and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I am Brian Song, B-R-Y-A-N, like sing a song. And yeah, I ran into Blair this morning on my way to the physical therapy, and I felt like I wanted to just talk to him and share the good news. Good news about Jesus Christ and who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And I want to share about what he has done for me. April this year, 2015, April 23rd, about 9 in the morning, I was on my way to the bank because I needed money to pay off buy my drugs. I had ordered lots of drugs to my dealer, and I was on my way to the bank. And on my way to the bank, I saw a sunlight, and the sunlight stopped me, and I froze, and I felt like the sun was going to burst. And as I was watching the sun made a 360 flare, starting with 12 o'clock all the way around to 1 o'clock. It made a distinctive sun flare, made a circle. And I have never seen that before. So it got my attention. And I believe that God used the sun to stop me and to wake me up from my addiction. I've been using crack cocaine for 25 years.
How did you get started in using that? As a teenager?
You know, I partied growing up.
Yeah.
You know, smoking weed.
Yeah.
Doing some lines and, you know, stuff like that. And I remember my friends one by one disappearing. And I used to ask, hey, what happened to so-and-so? And my friends would tell me that, yeah, they got hooked on crack.
Yeah, yeah.
So smoking weed and sniffing was one thing, but when they started to smoke,
yeah,
it got really serious.
Yeah.
And guys were vanishing.
Big problems in Australia with crystal meth at the moment. That's just been going on and on and on. The big government campaigns to kind of stop it and things like that. So it's crack cocaine is not a massive thing in Australia. You know, it's very expensive to buy that kind of stuff. But crystal meth is a lot cheaper, and a lot of people are hooked on that back home or as well. So how did you sort of get off it? And you know, what was your daily habit of having? How much did you have to spend each day on drugs just to stay?
Well, it's been a long journey.
Yeah.
It really has been a long journey, and it was actually a process. You know, I actually used to like to party with friends, have a good time, and mingle, and you know, hang around.
Yeah. Especially in your 20s and that.
Yeah, especially late teen 20s.
Yeah.
But with crack cocaine, there's so much drama, so much people acting, people using, people lying, and you know, just using people.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get pretty much tired and old, get older, kind of tired of that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I did was I started to go into motels.
Yeah.
And score drugs. You know, smoked in motels, and it actually later on it became a routine where I had developed a cycle where I would work for a whole season, save up money, and you know, I had to support my family, so that was my priority. But
you were saying before you had three kids, so did you have those kids when you were young, or is that sort of
in my late 20s?
Wow. Yeah, so you're still doing all the crack cocaine plus trying to bring up three kids in LA
throughout my marriage. Yes.
Wow, that's incredible. How did your kids cope? Like, I used to be a school teacher, so I never really taught. I definitely taught kids who, you know, have used drugs and things like that, but how did you keep it together for your kids, or how did you do something like that?
You know, I grew up...
Because you obviously loved them,
yes,
no matter what.
Yes,
you know? Yeah.
I was given from my mom and dad, my parents. I have 4 siblings, there are 5 of us.
Yep.
So one thing that my parents taught me was faith.
Yeah.
About God.
Yeah.
Grew up in church. I'm one of those PK, pastor's kid. My parents were missionaries. They came here. All my brothers and sisters are into ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had the biblical knowledge
as
a background.
Mm.
I just love friends. I loved my friends. I was always there for them. I always wanted to be there for them, with them. Very friendly. But crack cocaine.
Yeah.
It's a different story.
So you started noticing some of your friends dropping off, kind of thing? Like,
right.
Yeah. Or getting serious. Yeah.
I mean, eventually we say that either you end up in jail, mental institute, or you die.
You know?
And that's what the at the NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and that's where I go every day to get support and get help. You know, as far as having my family as a priority, that was my conscience. I really thought that my parents gave me everything, and if I could only at least provide for them, room and board, provide for them the financial need. But always this disease was always there, the disease of addiction.
Yeah,
it's always there.
How much a day or whatever did you have to cope, or just to make that normal, that average hit kind
of
thing?
Well, it's whenever I save up for a season, I would spend like thousands.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would probably smoke about 1,000 a week.
Far out, yeah.
Yeah.
It's incredible, yeah.
And I would stay up.
Yeah, yeah.
And smoking.
How close did you come to those two things before jail or death?
I could have easily died many times.
Yeah.
I believe only by God's grace, God kept me from going to jail, getting shot, or losing my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I really believe that is only by God's grace.
Yeah,
He kept me, He protected me, and of course I try not to get into trouble.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would place myself in the motel.
Yeah, I see, yeah.
Know, and that's basically my cycle.
Yeah.
It will be every season. Every season I would relapse.
Yeah.
You know, relapse, go and do drugs.
Yeah, so you were working as a cook, so you've been a cook for a long time as well.
I've been a cook for a while, and then keep on changing my job every season because to support my habit.
Yeah, exactly. Over the years I've taught a lot, not a lot of kids, but definitely a few who have been involved in drugs, and then when their parents, you know, realize, or I've seen the struggle from parents. How did your parents cope with this when when they found out, or did you try to keep it from them for a long time? And
you know,
they were there to help, kind of.
Everyone suffers.
Yeah, yeah.
With one person as an addict, 360 degree.
Yeah.
Whoever is around that addict or that person who uses, everyone suffers.
Yeah.
Every single one.
But it's the addiction, it's so strong, isn't it, that you are only thinking of yourself, do you think, at the time? Or is it your mind thinking of, I just have to have that hit kind of thing? And it's so overpowering for all those other people in your life, or those in that moment kind of thing?
You know, it's like a feeding a seed.
Mm.
Eventually the seed actually turns out to be a beast.
Yeah.
The more you feed, the longer you do drugs, that beast will grow.
Yeah.
In fact, that beast will overpower you.
Mm.
It overpowered me.
Yeah.
Where I was powerless.
Yeah.
I couldn't manage my life. Just out of control.
Mm.
And it's all about getting another hit.
Yeah.
It's a chasing. People say chasing that dragon.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It really is.
Mm.
Once an addict, you have to deal with this. You have to really seek for help. And
so what was the turning point for you? What was the moment? You know, you've got 3 kids. if that wasn't enough motivation. Four kids. So what was the, you know, was it that you got a bit older? So you said you're in your 40s
now? I'm like 46 now. Yeah.
Was it something that just snapped and you were like, I need to get my life together, or I need, there's enough of this shit, I need to sort it out, you know? And you were a bit older, so you realised that that had to happen, or was it the kids, or was it your wife, or your parents, or...
You know, my mom passed away July 24th last year.
Right, yep.
And at that time, I relapsed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was...
Many people do in times like that.
It was hard, very hard and difficult, but... See, when it comes to drugs, as an addict, even death of a parent cannot change an addict to quit.
Yeah.
That's why it's so dangerous.
Mm.
I always wanted to quit. I always wanted to, you know, at one point I thought I could quit.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought at one point in my life, if I want to, I could quit this.
Yeah.
It's not true.
Yeah.
It's the biggest deception, biggest lie.
Mm.
I wish I could quit. I hope one day I can quit. I really...
This is when you're in your 20s and
20s,
that kind of
30s, 30s, yeah, 40s. Yep, yep. I really believe that it's by the power of God. It's really by His power, God's power. He stepped in and He helped me and delivered me from drugs, from the bondage, from the addiction, to recovery, placed me in a area, home, recovery home, attending Narcotics Anonymous. Narcotics Anonymous works.
Yeah.
It's a real deal.
Yeah. And you go to that here in LA?
Every night. I go to meetings throughout LA.
And obviously you're getting good support there from people as well.
Yes.
And that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm serious about the recovery.
Yeah, yeah.
Honest.
How long you been clean now?
Been clean, this is my 6th month.
Wow. Yeah. 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 And what are you going to do to make sure that, you know, you don't relapse again, or you don't go down this path? Have you removed yourself from those people or those dealers? Or, you know, in Australia, it's a lot harder for average people to get drugs. You know, you can go out and get it, sure enough. But, you know, here in LA, I imagine it's a lot easier to go out and acquire drugs if you want to be able to get what you want and things like that.
Right. I lived in Alaska for a while, and then the way salmon swims upstream.
Yeah, yep.
It's like that. It's like salmon. You have to swim up. Even the water comes down, but you know that you have to go up.
Yeah.
It's not going to be that easy path. It's not going to be that wide road.
Mm.
It's going to be very narrow.
Mm.
And you have to force yourself. You have to work yourself up. You have to swim yourself up with everything that you have.
Mm.
Sometimes you really have to push it really hard.
Yeah.
Just to make it to that next step.
Yeah.
I believe that it takes fellowship. It takes a group of people to work this together, supporting each other, believing in the higher power, which is my God.
Yeah.
And seeking the recovery. You have to work it.
Mm.
They say it works if you work it.
Mm.
And it's one day at a time, one step at a time. Willing to want to, sincerely want to change and to recover from this disease.
Mm.
You know, you have to fight it.
Yeah.
You have to work it.
And be resilient is a big thing as well. You know, I used to teach my students a lot about being resilient and, you know, goal setting and things like that as well. And it sounds as though you're on that path to those kind of things. So,
you got to keep on walking it.
Mm.
Sometimes you got to run it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to jump it.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
So how many Ks you were saying? How many miles each day you walk in LA? You walk 5 to 10 miles.
Yeah, average about 5 to 10 miles.
And just talk to people along the way, just to tell your story.
Tell the people about the good news.
Yeah.
The gospel, who Jesus Christ is. Because to me, Jesus Christ is the Son of the Living God, who died for me, who took my place away on the cross at the Calvary to forgive my sins, to give me eternal life, to know the love of the Father, our Heavenly Father, and I believe that Spirit of Jesus Christ is in me to share His power, His love, and His truth to everyone. And that's how I met you.
Yeah, man. Well, look, as I was saying before with Brian, I was just walking down from my hotel on Flower Street, I think it was, and Brian came up to me and started telling me his story, and how hot is it today? It's bloody hot, isn't
it? It's pretty hot.
We would call this flaming, stinking, boiling hot back home kind of thing. It is a really hot day, beautiful blue sky day in LA though. But yeah, I just thought, you know, I'd love to capture your story, and you were gracious enough to want to share it. I think a lot of people, you know, you could inspire a lot of people. So, you know, I think that you need to just make sure that if we never meet each other in this life ever again or anything like that, if we never meet each other in this life ever again, then I hope that, you know, you get through this and that you fully recover and you go on and have a great life. Because you've got your kids and you've got your, you know, everyone else in your life as well to support you. So,
yes.
Yeah, man, it's been a pleasure
all
to
right.
meet you.
Pleased to meet you.
No worries. Yeah, and I hope you enjoy the ice cold drink. We just stopped
Thank
to have
yes,
ice cold drink. Cheers too as well, yeah. I couldn't think of a better ice cold drink to have on such a hot day. So, yeah, cheers. Thanks for sharing your story.